We got Amanda on the mic. Amanda, open us in prayer. We're going to get rolling here.
Okay, Kenny. Hello. Dear Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you for this morning. I pray that we all have a great time today and that Mr. Brian's message really gets to us and we understand and we can use it to serve you. And I pray that we all have a great time today and a great week. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Good job. Good. Bob, thanks for the lights there.
Yes, sir.
So if you're here last week, we talked about going through the desert. And this is the actual desert that Jesus had to walk through. Pretty crazy stuff, eh? It's a Judean desert. Sang a Matthew West song, Going Through the Motions. Love that song. We all go through the desert various times in our walk with God. Even Jesus had to go through the desert. Amen. Fact, you're not alone in the desert. Right? Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Right? The desert prepares the way for God's will. Amen? The desert will test your faith, we learned. You're not going to always feel God's presence. You'll feel dry at times. You'll experience times of going through the motions. During these times, we must learn to trust God because He knows what He's doing. We can't lean on our own understanding, right? Right? Do not rely on your own insight or understanding. But He knows all. He's got the grand plan, beginning from the end. Read a little commentary on the desert. And then we finished with Uncle Rico coming up here giving a wonderful testimony. So, let's get back to the desert. But I tell you what, I want to get out of that desert today. Amen. Kenny, you want to get out of the desert? Let's get out of that desert.
Real fast for those people that were up in prayer. It isn't coincidental he's speaking about a desert. Do you know what the windiest places in the world are? Deserts. Sandstorms, think about it. Nothing to stop the wind. That is a place that the wind is the strongest. Think about that.
Bob, I was actually, I had a video, and it was this movie called The Way Back, and these guys in World War II, based on a true story, had to escape from a Siberian prison camp. And they went through the mountains, they went through the snow, and they ended up going through the desert, and they had that sandstorm to come in. Like today, we got that the windstorm coming in, but thank God we don't have the sand. But it was pretty brutal. Remember, we all go through the desert, but we're not meant to stay there and live there and wallow in our sorrows. Amen? There's a light at the end of this tunnel. His name is Jesus Christ. Keep fighting. Keep moving forward. Keep seeking. In Luke 11, 9 and 10, so I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be open for you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be open. So you know what? You're going through the desert. You're going through a dry time. Peter, guess what? God will help you. Amen. But you got to ask Him. Lord, help me. Help me crawl through this desert, God. Right. Amen? In that movie, it was so phenomenal that when they were going through the desert, there was nothing. And they're dying, and they're parched and blisters everywhere, and then all of a sudden, there's an oasis right in the middle of that desert. Pastor Don got a comment.
This is just a side note. There's an old movie. Where's Betty at? She probably saw this movie. There's an old movie called Sahara. And these guys, you know, it's a World War II movie. Who? Sahara Mandre? Okay. I should give this to you, and you can tell us the whole cast. But why, Humphrey Bogart's a great movie, but it's about getting to the water and what the price they would pay or to protect the water. You know, we mention these movies, and there's, you know, as Christians, we should be drawing spiritual lessons out of everything, you know, that we see. But that's an old good movie there, right, Betty? Betty, how many stars you give it, Betty? Wow. Oh, we got to see that movie.
No, that was Motel Hell.
That's prophetic, Betty.
Yeah, that wasn't
usually in the church, it's burying the heads in the ground and the body stays out. I think we're talking about two different movies.
Yeah.
Yeah, because there was no burying people up to the head. But we'll, if you want to watch that movie, see Betty afterwards.
Yes, yes. Amen. All right. You know what? As a body of believers, we need to encourage others who are going through the desert. You know your brother or sister's going through the desert. Pick up the phone. Call them. If it's Pastor John, don't text him. But everybody else in the world, you can text. Give them go knock on their door. If you're eating at Angelina's or something, go knock on the door. Hebrews 3:13. Encourage each other daily as long as it's called today, so that none of you will be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. So you know what? We're in a body of believers. You know, I love being... Who does not like to be encouraged? Nobody? Okay, right? So if we all like to be encouraged, maybe we should give some encouragement to people, right? You never know. Lose that one word you say to a person could change their whole day, could change their whole life. You don't know. Even like a little simple thing, like, I'm praying for you.
Amen.
Right, Carmen?
Yep.
So we got to encourage people. That's what God wants us to do right here. Daily. He says daily. Not once a year at Christmas time when you want a nice gift from your spouse. Your past desert experience can bring comfort to others. And it's so true. It's like, you know what, brother? Yeah, I know you're going through something, but I went through something similar. And I'm going to tell you, there is a light at the end of the tunnel. God's got you. He's got your back. Bernie ain't bringing you all the way from Minnesota to leave you in the desert.
He brought him into the desert.
Yes, he did. That's okay.
Welcome, Bernie.
2 Corinthians 1, 3 through 5. Praise to the God of all comfort. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. I didn't realize comfort was in that thing about 10 times. Right? So bring comfort to others. Encourage them. Love on them. Don't beat them up because they're in the desert or maybe they don't feel like coming to church or they don't feel like serving God. Encourage them. Say, hey, I've felt like that before too. There's meetings I don't want to go to. But I never been disappointed when I went. So. Yes, Amanda.
You know, the context of that scripture was the Corinthians were facing horrible persecution, and many of them were turning back to their former ways of life, whether it was Judaism or whether it was going back to, you know, the pagan religions and that. And, you know, when you look at the context there, how important it is to see when we comfort one another, come on, you can do it. Don't turn back. Don't go back. Because if you know others are still going in that same direction, it's going to encourage you. But there were many, many people that turned back or turned away from Christ in that time. And so we see that's why that was written to them. And it's stressed so much in that particular paragraph, you know, because Paul himself, here he is, look at all the things he went through, you know, and he was comforted either by somebody visiting him in jail or somebody bringing him food or praying for him or just visiting with him. And now he knows that these people that he kind of founded that church, what they're going through, their property taken from them, falsely accused, all those things, even some being put to death. And just a word sometime from the leader, like you were saying, Brian, how that would bring that strength to continue on, keep on keeping on, you know?
You know, to go along with that, Pastor Don, like, you know, when you encourage your girls, you know, I mean, I've had coaches, okay, they've swore at me, you know, but right after they swore at me, they'll grab me by the face mask, swat me on the behind. All right, I'll get out there and do it, you know, blah, blah, blah. You know, right? Same coach. And, You know what? Man, I was ready to jump off a mountain, Sammy, for that guy. But not for these coaches that'll degrade you and dog you and just, you know, try to humiliate you. I've seen that. I've seen coaches do that today. Drives me nuts. Pastor Don, you saw it, the basketball coach. Remember that guy? Yes. So we don't go by feelings when we're in a desert, because we're going to feel dry, we're going to feel weak, we're going to feel everything else and not close to God. But remember Jeremiah says, the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? Right? Our own feelings and emotions. If God led you to it, the desert, He'll get you through it. Amen? This statement is true of anything. In some situations, God is working it all out for our good. Right, Sammy? Nope. In all situations, that was a little test. I know that's one of Sammy's favorites.
That's all right.
Depends on whether they're paying attention. That's all right. Got to work it out.
When I was going through a hard time in my life, I remember Sammy, he actually used that scripture to me, this one, and we know in all things that God works for the good. Amen. Of those who love Him have been called according to His purpose. In all situations, right? All things. So, I
guess so, dude.
All right. So now we're ready for part two. Now, we're out of the desert. You guys feel good? Matt, you feel good? Man, I can breathe, you know. Bernie, I got some ice cold water, you know. Relax, and it's going to be okay. We just quote that scripture. We know in all things God works for the good who love Him and been called according to His purpose. I like this version, Amplified. And we know with great confidence that God, who is deeply concerned about us, causes all things to work together as a plan for good for those who love God, to those called according to His plan and purpose. Amen? Even though it don't look like a good plan sometimes, like, God, you sure you want to run this play? That's what I remember in football. Our coach called the perfect play. And our quarterback, Don Fish, who's the principal over here now, he gets up to the line, and the coach, he's all excited, and he calls an audible and starts to call a different play. Man, our coach got so mad, he's throwing his head, no, 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 no. And, of course, it was for a loss, and you know, because the plan, he didn't follow the plan. All right. Bob sang it best. So just kind of lighten the mood a little bit. Yes. No. That's somebody that's thinking you're going to sing.
Yeah.
So.
You beat me to it, but she's exactly
right.
All right, I'll accept that.
So just a couple minutes. We're not going to play the whole song, but, you know, just to kind of get in the mood here. So it's God uses all things, right? Even Bob Marley. You can sing if you want. Come on, Fred. Think of this song next time you're going through something. Look at these lyrics, powerful. Yes, and a deep, profound, spiritual meaning. Could you imagine if we asked Pastor John to play this today? Oh, sorry. Medicinal. Thank you. Thanks, brother. Doesn't this song make you happy? Okay, I mean, you know, it's not a bad song. Don't worry, be happy.
This teaching makes me happy.
Who said that? All right, cut that. All right, are we in a better mood now? We're out of the desert. Okay, see, it's very important. Okay, anyway, there's a story here about Paul, and in the book of Acts, and he gets flogged and everything else, and then he says, hey, I'm a Roman citizen, you know, and the guy goes, oh, I didn't know you're a Roman citizen. So he goes on trial, and these Sadducees, the religious group, is fighting against the Pharisees in here. So Paul, with his smarts that God gave him, he pits the one group against the other. And he says, it's because of my belief in the resurrection that I'm on trial. Well, the Pharisee group, they believed in the resurrection. The Sadducees didn't. So he got them two to fight against each other. So he was so smart in doing that. But Paul knew God was working all things to the good for him, right? Because Paul wrote that scripture, right? In all things, God works to the good through the Holy Spirit. But does God work all things to the good for everyone? No. The world says yes. Right? You know, oh, don't worry, it'll all work out, you know. I mean, non-believers telling non-believers, and does it really all work out? The answer is no. Despite what well-meaning people of the world may tell you, oh, it'll all work out. The Word says God works all things to the good for those who love God, number one. So do you love God? Right? We all do, right? I mean, not as much as we should, I'm sure. And there's times I'm like, God, help me to love you more. Well, I'm selfish, you know? But we do, because even Jesus said, if you love me, you do what? You obey my commands, right? It also says, who have been called according for his purpose, for his plans. Anybody been called in here? We've all been called, right? And everybody here has answered the call, right? We're doing his plans, his will. You know, I love these people. They'll go to a church service. They'll do an altar call. And, oh, I'm saved now. And that's wonderful. That's great. And guess what? They don't do another thing the rest of their lives. And they're the same old miserable person. But they're saved. They're born again. And there's no life. There's no light. There's no joy. But they're, you know, drives me nuts. So you have a purpose. Part of that purpose is sharing the gospel to invite others to the banquet. Every single person in here, from the youngest to the oldest, Bob, Amanda or Abby, Bob, has a purpose. If you don't know what your purpose is, please see the pastors. All right, don't see me. Call Pastor Don.
Right. Well, hey, I invited somebody.
Yes, he came, and he came to the front row. And if anybody wants to attack me today, it's my bodyguard right here. So you're going to have to deal with Big Steve.
I don't know if I'd want to guard that body, Steve.
What does God want from you? Micah 6:8. He has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require you? What does he require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God, your God. Amen. There's a song by Stephen Curtis Chapman. I love it. It's do justly, you know, love mercy, walk humbly with your God. Is that hard to do?
Yeah.
It can be, right? But God will give you the strength. Okay. So now, is this a Bible study class or auto shop class? My brother Eli over there talked about in depth about wheel alignments.
Yes, he did.
Yes. And so, Eli, I got a little story that goes along with your story here. For my wife's 50th birthday, Oh, sorry, I revealed your age. I mean 30th birthday. Kenny, help me. Guard her. Watch her. Watch her. Hey, she looks great for her. Great. All right. So, where are we going? Where'd I go? Okay. All right. Here we go. Here we go. Here we go. Wait, what'd he say? I didn't hear. What'd you say? I didn't hear you. Yes, yes.
Brian, now's the time to start singing and dancing.
Yes. Wait, can we go back to that song? I was much happier. Okay.
Don't worry, man.
So Eli had a prophetic teaching. He didn't even know he had the prophetic anointing, but he did. I get my wife this car. Now, it's not brand new, but it drove like a dream. I test drove it, and when I test drive cars, I tear them up because if they're going to break down, they're going to break down on the test drive. Oh. Fall in love with the car. He takes my old car that keeps stalling off me, off my hands. Price is right, Pastor Don. You know, you'll like that. And it's a beautiful car. Drives like a dream. So I'm picking the car up, and the one thing I didn't do is drive it on the freeway. But I did drive at 65 down like a telegraph road. So I figured I was going to shake it. So we're coming around this curve. You know how the freeway's curved? All of a sudden it starts shaking like this. I'm like, oh, no. What the heck's going on? And doesn't do it to the right, just does it to the left. Take it to my mechanic. So I'm like, great. Now I know why the person traded it in, you know, that I get had. So my mechanic looks at it all and says, everything looks good under there. Go to Belt Tire and get an alignment. I go, I hate Belt Tire. They rip you off. He goes, just go there. They got a good machine. One, two, it's like three. Hey, this ain't my notes. These are the three alignments that they did on my car. So this, you know, and I'm like, Lord, I know you're working this out for my good. Okay, so the kid, now before it ran perfect and straight, just when you're doing 70 around a curve, it just shook a little. Well, after the alignment, it was all over the road like a boat. It was like a death trap. And my wife goes, what did you do to the car? It's horrible. I'm scared to drive it. So I take it back, and I said, Lord, I know you're working this to the good, but I don't see it right now. I think I just blew all kinds of money, right? I'm like, golly, I don't like to blow money.
We know.
Zip. So I take it back. It's a young kid, and like 27. I go, I don't know what's going on. So he goes, come here. And I had gotten a discount on the alignment, so I was, you know. He goes, I want to show you something. He goes, your mechanic missed this. And he started shaking the back wheel, and I was going like this. So they were going to fix it, and they got it fixed within like an hour or so. And he says, hey, I got to go, you know, this and that. And, he says, just pray that it works, you know. So me and Christy, I had to go to my game, and she left. I says, call me as soon as you hear something. So I get the phone call from her. I'm like, okay, she's going to start saying, it's still terrible, you know. I'm like, yeah, honey, is it working? And she goes, it's driving like a dream. I'm like, thank you, Lord. You know, you worked it out to the good. But here's the rest of the story. God had put it on my heart to minister to this kid, but he had to leave right away. So the next day, I came in before he started work, and I had got him a card. I actually put some cash in it, Sammy, more than a dollar. And I wrote him a letter, like in the card, you know, about the Lord and everything else to minister to him. Because he knew Sean Donahue, who used to come to church here. So I got to sow some seed. God worked it all to the good. And so there's your alignment there. And now, no matter what you're going through, sickness, job loss, layoff, financial hardship, loneliness, the desert sees it. God promises he'll work it all for our good. Just keep loving him and obeying him and persevering. He's got your back, right? We talked about that all the time. All right. We're going to end. Last week we had Ricardo. So I got Kim Possible. I asked her to come up and share testimony about working something to the good. Because Kim's got 1,000 stories every month.
I've got one from last week, really.
And, but I'm really? Sure. So Kim, you're going to end it? So you got about 7, 8 minutes, 10 minutes.
I did title my testimony, and actually it came to me this week because of what I already kind of went through this week. And this was not a desert experience this week, but I'm going to give the testimony about my desert time. But I titled this, "If It Hadn't Hurt So Much, I Would Have Never Been Changed By It." So what I learned from this testimony, from this experience, that I would know that God is sovereign over all things, that I belong to Him, and any victory or success I have ever had is not at my hands, but at His. So, and this was, I had Colors by Kim for 10 years by this. The salon was growing. This was its third expansion. I was going from 1,000 square feet to 2,000 square feet. Now, that sounds really exciting when you say you're expanding. That means you're doing good. Well, I was doing good enough that when the opportunity came up, I was able to do this expansion. And what it meant at the time is that I would double my space, but I would also double basically everything. You know, I'm gonna have to pay double for my space. I'm gonna have to pay for more equipment. I'm gonna have to pay for a rebuild. So it might sound exciting, but I knew I was going in more debt in order to take more territory, let's say. So, and I was already overwhelmed at this time, being in business for 10 years. My workload was already difficult. I have service providers that there are situations that happen there. Liability of accidents, working behind the chair myself full time. I had inventory myself that I was doing, payroll, cleaning, all the fun stuff that goes with growing your own business. And there was very little help. Nobody that was working for me at the time was helping me. I had a longtime employee too that she wouldn't even help me put inventory away. If, you know, it was me doing everything at that time. But what happened at this very opportune time, a woman came to work for me, and she was a nail tech. And my front desk receptionist had just left the salon. And it gave an opportunity for this nail tech to apply for this job. And she was very gung-ho and very helpful. And I guess that should be your, you know, first sign when she looks so different from everybody else. And, you know, but she wanted to quickly become my best friend. And as I titled this, Help Was Here, she was helping me more than everyone put together. And I finally felt that I had someone I could trust. A couple years passed with her in this position, and I like to say that my stress load had lessened, but it really hadn't. There was other situations that were coming up in the salon. I knew that there was some gossip going on. There was, you know, I mean, she was doing things for me, but financially I was doing okay, but not really growing that much, and I really didn't understand that. And, you know, she would actually blame when a situation was coming up. If somebody came up to me, she goes, "Oh no, it's them. They're crazy. I can't believe they're telling you this. You know, I'm doing all this stuff behind the chair." And then one day I noticed that she wasn't there, and we were having problems with gift cards. If you came and bought a gift card for me, Marie, and all of a sudden you're coming back to redeem it, and I know Marie, and she's like, "Man, how is it that I don't have my massage is not on that gift card? Why am I missing $50?" Had no idea. And so, of course, it was blaming the person that actually sold the gift card, which wasn't her. Of course, it was somebody else that sold the gift card, and, you know, I could go on. But what happened is one day I had to do the investigation myself. I had to go into the paperwork. She wasn't there. And when I looked, I found that it was attached to one of my, I don't want to get too long in the story, but I found it was attached to one of my nail techs that worked for me. And when I opened up the ticket, I could see that this person had redeemed it. And so when I went to my nail tech to find out, hey, like, how did this gift card not get redeemed properly? She was, that person is my friend, and she's never received a gift card. Anyways, it unlocked, like, thousands of dollars that had been stolen over probably a two-year period. And when I say thousands, I mean probably close to $15,000 that she had stolen from me, and caused a lot of strife in the salon. And so here I was paying more. I was growing what it looked like, but how was it that, you know, now I had to handle this situation with her. I had to go face to face with her. And I had gone to the police. And, you know, and it was probably one of the most difficult conversations I ever had. I had to sit down with her and say, you know, I believe that you're stealing from me. And I had enough proof to bring that to the table that she finally, after two times lying to me, finally admitted and said, you never deserved me to do this to you. And so obviously I let her go with the condition that I would only prosecute her if she didn't pay me back. And she had a one-time payment. And believe it or not, with that one threat, she came up with a $15,000 payment to me. And I can guarantee you that wasn't even, I mean, I kind of scratched the surface with some help of how much she actually stole. But I can tell you she was stealing more than money. She was stealing supplies. She was stealing the girls' tips. So even though I got some of that money back, but I had to, I mean, not only did she steal that, but there was a whole trust thing that was broken in the salon as well that had to be rebuilt. And they needed to see me take charge of that situation. And what I can tell you is at that very moment when I found out, when Bob was talking about falling on your knees, having a falling on your knees moment, you know, we fall, and it's great to fall on your knees in reverence to God. But I'll tell you, I'd like to say it was in reverence, but I felt like I was losing everything I had. And I've cried out in my life. I've cried over different situations, but this, I can tell you, was one of those times I was in my salon and I just fell on my knees and just wept because I felt like I already didn't have a team built up in my salon. And now how was I going to continue to go on? And was I even going to be able to go on knowing that I had such a loss? And who else would I lose in the process? And actually, who else was taking advantage of me and who else was stealing? I mean, because I relied so heavily on one person hoping that she would help me, and the one that I had wasn't. She was truly sent from the devil. What I did right after that, after crying out to God, I had a trip pre-planned to go see one of my very best friends, Libby Hall. And if anybody knows Libby, she's come to the church a couple times. She's a worship leader. And she had just moved to Texas, and I had a visit planned with her and to maybe lighten the mood of this situation. But I was going to see her, and I was double-checking my reservations. I already spent the $300 that I had to go before I knew the situation had happened to me. But when my girlfriend was double checking with me about my trip, because I didn't know if I should leave my team, I wasn't sure what I should do, but I needed that friend. And when I looked, I had realized that I had booked my trip backwards. And if anybody has ever booked your trip backwards and didn't find out to the very last minute, for me to continue to see this very good friend of mine that I thought was going to be, you know, the person that was going to be, you know, like, she's going to mentor me and help me through it. I knew that she had gone through some things. It was now taking me from spending, Brian, $300 for my trip to an additional $800. And again, I just remember my head just being, I knew I needed to get to her. I knew I needed to get away from my situation. I knew I needed a retreat. I needed someone to speak something good over me. And I just put my head down and I just wept. And I still took that trip. I wrote, you know, I charged that thing, not knowing what tomorrow would bring. And I did get encouraged. Sometimes you just got to do it. I know a couple people have done that, right? So I did get encouraged in that I went and I did get refreshed. But on my way back, I sat next to a gentleman. And he was a very unusual looking gentleman. And I don't want to really describe him, but one thing I can tell you that he was very skinny. He was kind of tall. He had really, really bad teeth. Now, this might not sound like anything, but he wanted to talk to me. He really wanted to confide in me. He was a pastor. And if you have bad teeth, I hate to tell you this, but you probably have bad breath. And so he wanted to really get close to me and talk to me. And I was right in the seat next to him. He didn't have to get too much closer for me to hear him, but I did. I listened to him. And he was telling about he was traveling back here to Michigan to bury his mother. And so obviously I had a story like that because I had buried my mother. So I was happy to hear his story and just listen to him. Great to be out of my own. And anyways, at the end of the conversation, he finally looked and said, well, where are you coming from? So I started to tell him my story. And he goes, I can't believe you listened to me say all that stuff about my mom and look what you're going through. And I felt like he prophesied at me, like right to me at that moment. And the flight attendants, don't say that. The flight attendants were coming by and they were, you know, when they give you, like, you got the choice of a cookie, you got pretzels, and you got peanuts. And so when they come up to you, you choose your favorite, right? And he goes, so he chose one, and I chose two. I said, can I have the cookies and the pretzels? And they did. They gave it to me. And he looked at me and he said, you know, in life, this is what's going to happen. He goes, Kim, he goes, people are going to be offered three different things and they're going to choose one. But you're going to choose all three. And what's going to happen when you walk through your life is that people are going to be jealous because you got what you asked for. And so I just continued. I always wanted to do my business to glorify God. And I didn't want to stop doing that because somebody had come into my life and stole from me in such a degree. And I had to go on and continue to trust God. And I continue to ask him for more. And so now, and we know that I have 3,000 square feet, I still struggle with things that still come my way. But it's not like those desert storm experiences, for sure. More just humbling experiences. But what I can tell you is that, you know, God continues to prove to me that he loves me, he cares for me, he's looking out for me, and he's going to take my story because of the numerous stories that I have through the years. Now I get to actually go into other businesses, into other salons, and I get to actually coach them and mentor them. I can speak words of showing them how to protect themselves, show them how to have business plans, and really know how to watch their money. And I'll have a heart for them because I know that when they're hurting and they're going through things that some people would never understand, I'm going to understand better than anyone else. So, yeah, that's my story. Oh, right. Oh, all right. Hey. Hey, all right. Hey, God, thank you. Thank you for today, Father God. Oh, oh, yay. Hey, God. Thank you, Lord God. Right there. Oh, my gosh. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for every opportunity that you bring to us, Father God. May we glorify you in all of it. May we trust you through every storm and every circumstance and every situation, Lord God. We know that you love us. You're sovereign over all things, Lord God. And we just continue to give our life. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.